prevailed. So has God's creation. Now, I'll be honest, God's creation has not come through unscathed. There are definitely some marks we've left upon this place. The mountains find their foundations troubled by hydraulic fracking. The night sky is lost behind the reflection of light pollution against turbid skies. And the radiance of the sun without the filtering of that beautiful ozone layer now causes damage in ways that harm the life it once nurtured. God's creation has not come through unscathed, but it has come through nonetheless. Because life finds a way. It's one of my favorite quotes from the work of Michael Crichton, spoken by a quirky mathematician who specializes in chaos as he describes the dangers of cloning dinosaurs. He says, life breaks free. Life expands to new territories, painfully, perhaps even dangerously, but life finds a way. This is the power of God's creation. And it's not power that's reserved for us alone. It's the kind of power that is shared inherently within everything that God spoke into being. Life finds a way. The light, the dark, the land, the waters, the fish, the birds, and as our scripture tells us, every creeping, crawling thing that creeps and crawls upon the earth. Life finds a way. Now, it's important to note, this does not give us carte blanche to live without concern for the world. Oh, life will find a way. Let's do what we want. As we drive inefficient cars back to unsustainably built homes to fill them with fossil fuel-based energy that requires refrigerating the water we have to pipe in because too many people live on top of each other in a desert climate, as we do these things, we don't get to laugh and trivialize the consequences of our impact, while reassuring ourselves that life will find a way. No. We should heed this phrase as a warning. Should we pass the point of no return, making this planet uninhabitable for ourselves and countless beautifully created creatures, life will find a way. Life will find a way to carry on without us. I am not so anthropomorphic. I am not so focused on the importance and the necessity of humanity that I believe we are the sole reason this world exists. God made it all before we got here. And whatever we leave behind us in our wake will be here long after we are gone. To think that we are the sole focus and purpose of God's creation denies the beauty, the intention, and the power of the life God has filled this planet with. And while Habakkuk believed that God was one to actively punish humanity, hear his words. The mountains saw you and writhed, a torrent of water swept by. The deep gave forth its voice, and the sun raised high its hands. The moon stood still in its exalted place, as the light of your arrows speeding by at the gleam of your flashing appear. In a fury, Lord, you trod the earth. In anger, you trample the nations. As our prophet believed that God was one to actively punish humanity, I believe God does not need to be so dramatic for us to feel effects as we are doing it to ourselves. Now, there's this great phrase I picked up from a parenting book, natural consequences. I like this phrase. It's not about active punishment. It's not about going after something, because often many decisions a child or any of us make have natural consequences, the things that unfold because of the choices that are made. It's simply a continuation of cause and effect. God does not need to be vengeful or wrathful in response to our treatment of this planet. We will deal with the consequences of it. We will deal with the natural consequences of it. The word natural feels ironic here to me. You see, we still have a chance to do something about it. As the Gitgat people would say, the spirit bears are not gone yet. When we think about the power that God has created amongst this beautiful world, as we think of the possibility of creation, we still have a chance to do something about it. We must remember that as a part of God's creation, we are an example of the life God created. We are life, and life must find a way. Amen.